Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Before the crucifixion of Christ and the Last Supper, they're preparing for his betrayal, his crucifixion, his resurrection. And what we must get out of this Scripture is, it was not only Judas that walked out on God when things got rough, but every disciple, in one way or another, turned their back on the Master. Then one of the 12, verse number 14, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, 'The Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful." Does not say just one, but they were exceedingly sorrowful. I take that to mean the whole group. And begin every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And we know how Jesus took the bread and blessed him and talked about it was the one that supped with him in that very dish. At that moment, something got a hold of Judas and he ran out of that building. Amen. The 11 that were remaining supposed him to have some kind of business. Amen. There were to them no reason that Judas would betray Christ. And tonight, if the Lord would stand by us as we get ready to pray over the remaining of this service, I'd like to try to preach to us from dying to dead. Amen. From dying to dead. Amen. Would you bow your heads tonight? Ask the Lord to help us in the remainder of this service. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we need you here tonight. Oh God, that you would come by. Like never, ever before. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm asking you to touch that heart in this house. God, if there be any that's lost and undone, if there be any that's lukewarm and cold at heart, I ask that a fire would be stirred in their heart, that they would pray back through the old time salvation. Lord, you are that way, the life, the truth. You are that living water that we can so drink freely from. And God, I ask the Holy Ghost to come by and be in our midst tonight, and the conviction be as powerful as we've ever felt him. It's in your wonderful name we ask these things. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen and amen. I begin to think on this scripture, and I begin to think about the power and influence that sin has has on a life. Can you imagine? I mean, really think about it in your mind. I have known young men and women that have grown up under the influence of godly mothers and fathers. They have sat right on church pews, and they have heard some of the greatest anointing preaching, amen, of evangelists and pastors and missionaries, and it has affected their lives to an extent. I have known of young people that have raised their hands in youth camps and camp meetings. I have known of folks that have served the Lord for years after year after year. But when sin entered in, it so influenced them that it changed the direction that they were headed. Can I tell you tonight, one of the worst diseases known to man is the disease of sin. I thought about the disease of AIDS. I thought about the disease of cancer. I thought about the disease of cholera and different things that can take a man's life. I can take him from something to nothing. I wear away his body. I take away his strength. I remember visiting a man in the hospital, and he's still alive today. He's in hospice, and they're expecting him to pass away at any time. He has cancer, bone cancer, and throat cancer. Has tumors in his body. But the Lord has spared him thus far. I remember the first time I met him and shook his hand. He was a tall man, about 6'6". And he was a very broad man, probably weighed close to 300 pounds. I mean, just a whopping figure of a man. He was very intimidating. He was so big. But as I visited him the other day in the hospice, I looked at him so frail. I couldn't even hardly speak a word. His body has wasted away. Amen. That cancer does not care upon what cell it feeds. It does not care upon what life it destroys. And can I tell the night that sin is no respecter of person? Amen. Sin does not care if your dad is a holiness preacher. Sin does not care if you've been raised in this holiness way all your life. Amen. Sin does not care how much your mama and your daddy prays. If sin can, it will enter your life and it will destroy you. Do you hear me tonight? I said if sin has opportunity, if sin has an opening, it will enter in and destroy your life. I begin to think on these scriptures and pray about them, and I thought one thing, that every, or maybe not every disease has, but most diseases comes with symptoms. I think about it. Amen. Cholera. What a disease that can take a life in hours. Dysentery. Nausea. You begin to lose bodily fluids at such a rapid amount that you die. Amen. Of dehydration. I think about cancer and the symptoms that are accompanied with it. There are warning signs. I said there are warning signs that sin is decaying your relationship with God. Hope you're going to help me tonight. I really want to preach to you. I feel a burden upon my heart to try to do that. Oh, but there are recognizable signs tonight that let us know that a disease is present. Amen. I looked up that word disease, and I know it's a very common word, and we most know the meaning of it. But Webster says a disease is a serious problem in society. Amen. Sin is a serious problem, not only in society, but in the church. Amen. You cannot toy and play with sin and expect not to be affected or stained, amen, by its brutality and by its viciousness. I'm telling us that the wages of sin is not life, but death. man. I remember growing up as a young man, and my dad had a great aunt, and she was from out north, and she came to stay with us. Her name, amen, was, we called her Aunt Alma, and she came to our house, and she had worked all of her life at those hotels out north, out in New Hampshire, and Wentworth, and different places, and she saved up her money that she could come back home and retire in the South, where she was born and raised. I remember as she moved into our neighborhood, as she lived just a little ways from our house, as she visited time and time again. I remember I was probably 12, 13 years old. I remember my mom and my dad talking to her as she began to have pains in her side. I remember one night especially as they were eating, she bent double at the table. My dad became worried. My mom became worried. And they began to gather around her. And she told them that all was all right. Don't worry about me. I've had these pains for a while. And she began to reason them off. She blamed them on different symptoms or different causes. And she said, it's all well. Don't worry. But time went on. And the symptoms got serious. It got to the point that she couldn't bear it any longer. It got to the point that she's going to have to get help or try to get help, or she knew she was going to die. I remember that day they took her to the doctor, and the doctor looked at her, and they ran test after test. They did all kind of scans. They did blood work. They did MRIs. I mean, they looked at her one way and then another. And I remember my mom coming home and saying she has cancer. It's all over her body. I remember after years after she died, my mom and dad talking, how that doctor looked at her and said, I cannot guarantee you. I cannot say with full assurance, but I believe if you had came just a little bit earlier, if you had came months in advance, we might have could have prolonged and maybe even kept you from suffering from this terrible disease. I don't believe you realize tonight that the symptoms of sin are as serious as they are. Amen. I really believe that some of you think tonight that you can play with sin and the devil, and when you get ready, wash your hands and walk away. Oh, but sin has an effect. And whatsoever you sow, that shall ye also reap. Amen. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're not careful and you override the warning signs and you override the man of God, and you override mom and dad, and those that pull for you, amen, and don't realize the seriousness, there's going to be an eternity lost without God. I said there's going to come an eternity lost without God. Amen. Mama, Daddy, you better take note. I said, Mama, Daddy, you better take note tonight. You better take observation of your family and your children and of yourself and make sure that everything's all right with God. Because if you're not careful, you'll lose that fire and you'll lose that desire. And before long, you too will have the disease of sin in your life. Amen. Amen. It has amazed me over the years to see people sit in the house of God, never raise their hand. Amen. Talk about the preacher at lunch. Talk about how sorry he is, and about how he's always meddling, how he's always getting in the way, how he's always trying to preach on dress, how he's always trying to preach on apparel and modesty, how he's always telling our boys to act like men and
live holy before God. Amen. Never raise their hand. Not faithful to the home church. But let little Bobby get in trouble. And the first one they call is that same one that they have tore down. That same one that they have backbit. That same one that they have taken away the respect of in their children's eyes. And they want God to help them. I'm telling you tonight, if anything, you ought to build up the man of God. If anything, you ought to teach your children to respect the ministry and the man that stands behind that sacred desk. Can I get an amen from somebody tonight?
Man, we have taken it lightly. I said we have taken it lightly. I don't know how they do it in some of the churches in Panama now, but I know the times that I have been. Amen. Unless you are invited, unless the pastor or somebody in authority asks you to step behind this sacred desk, you do not get behind it. When they sing specials, they sing out in front. Amen. When they teach Sunday school, they teach out in front. And I have seen some visiting preachers, amen, give a podium and stand out in front. You know why? It's more than just a podium. It's more than just a pulpit. It is that oracle of God where God speaks to man through the preacher. I'm trying to help us tonight. I'm trying to warn somebody that's on the road to destruction. And there's signs that foretell your demise. I'm worried for you. Hey, man. You all right? You sure? You don't look good. You sure? I've been worried for you, son. I've been praying for you, but you all right? You sure about that? Amen. How many times have you heard that reply as a pastor? How many times have you said and you knew that sin was gnawing away a cancerous hole in that heart? Amen. You ain't got to go to a bar room to go to hell. Amen. You ain't got to sell your body on the street. Oh, come on. You ain't got to go to the dance hall. All you got to do is get cold and hard. All you got to do is stop living holy. Amen. And say, it's all right. I ain't got to pray. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to obey mom and daddy. And if you're not careful, that disease of sin will take away your experience and your salvation. Amen. Amen. I remember one night, and I tried, and I have made some mistakes, and I admit to it, and I've tried to make them right. There were times when I got zealous, and I thought, hey man, that you just shook somebody's robe, and didn't care if they got it or not. Hey man, as long as some amen you, you just go ahead and shuck it on down. I'm not against preaching flat-footed behind this sacred desk. I'm not against preaching old-time holiness, but I'm telling you, we need to preach it with love and compassion. Amen. I hope tonight, as I stand before you, you know I'm not up here just throwing out words, but there's a burden on my heart for your eternal soul. I said there's a burden on my heart for your eternal soul. Amen. I was talking to a black minister that stood in front of the counter at the drugstore where I work just the other week. And he looked at me and we began to talk about the world, talk about the situation. And he said, Brother Yeoman, he said, it's serious. It's serious. He said, but what we don't realize that it's been serious for a long time. Amen. Now just some are waking up and realizing the severity of the hour. Amen. Paul warned us. The book of Revelation warned us. Amen. Don't act surprised that our nation's in decline. Don't act surprised. Amen. That they're turning or have turned away from God. Amen.
and we saw it coming. But some have shut their eyes to compromise, shut their eyes to what they know is wrong, and are living their lives regardless of the warning signs that Christ has sent their way.
I'm reminded of a man in the Bible. The Bible said that he fared, had great riches. He looked out on his crop. He saw all the great things that he had. He saw how that he was blessed. He saw the abundance. That should have been the time that he lifted his hands and said, God, you are my provider. Amen. Without you, I would have nothing. Without you, I would be all alone. But the Bible said, and he looked out, he said, I will build more barns. Amen. That I may store up these things that I have. But there came a voice from heaven that said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Amen. You're making provisions for tomorrow that might not ever come. You're making plans for a better day that might not ever get here. Amen. You're talking and preparing for a future that you might not ever see. You're here by the very mercies and grace of God. And how long shall that mercy and grace be extended your way?
One of the worst things to see is a man dying. As a pastor and a preacher, I see some of you standing. How many times have you had to walk into a hospital room, lay your hands on a lost soul that won't pray, and know they're drawing their last breaths? Amen. You know, death or dying can be prevented. Amen. I said it can be prevented. We have modern medical science that has excelled in so many ways. Can take a man's heart out, repair it, repair the vessels around it, and put it back in and him live a life after they've done it. I mean, got methods to heal some types of cancer. I got methods to bring a man back after he's had a stroke or a massive heart attack. Amen. Death can be prevented. Amen. How tonight can I prevent death? How tonight can you present or prevent a spiritual sleep? I tell you how. Find you a place in this altar. Cry out to God and say, I've sinned and made mistakes, but I don't want to die lost. Amen. I've sinned and made mistakes, but I don't want to die lost. Lost.
Amen. I mean, if you want to die lost tonight and go to hell, I mean, I don't believe anybody raised their hand and say, Brother Jim, that is my goal. That is my, amen, what I want to obtain. I want to die lost without God and suffer for all eternity. That's why God has burdened my heart. That's why some have been praying that tonight the lifeline might be thrown out and you might be helped by the grace of God.
Brothers, and they're worried about you. You sure everything's fine? You sure? You know, I don't mind stopping the service right now. And we'll go to the altar and pray. Hallelujah. And these brothers have got a burden for you too. I know your pastor does. I know your pastor's wife does. And your friends and those around here. And no doubt, Brother Sellers, they'd gather in and pray with you. Wouldn't you like to make a trip down to the altar? Wouldn't you like to pray tonight? Are you sure? I'm trying to reason with you. I don't know
what tomorrow may bring. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You might live to be 80, but you might die tomorrow. I'm warning you, why don't you pray? Oh God, I'm telling you, there's some of you here tonight that you have ignored God's Holy Ghost. You have pushed him off time and time again, and you are in serious need. I said you are in serious need of help.
I left here last year. Friday will be a year ago. This Friday will be a year ago. I shook you boys' hands. We hugged necks and we cried. And I left higher than I had ever left this camera, Brother Ronnie Day. I was rejoicing what had happened at Broxton Youth Camp 2008. I was riding down the road. My little boy was with me. Can't tell you what happened. I don't remember. I do not remember. How many are planning to die now? I mean, we live like we are immortal. We live like death will never come our way. Amen. I remember in that moment I filled my vehicles. I was asleep, I reckon, blacked out or something. I remember that moment. All of a sudden I felt my vehicle go off the road, Brother Tony. And I looked up and trees were passing by. Amen. And I, amen, went by a light pole, a mailbox flew over. And there was nothing I could do. Amen. When I hit that light pole, I mean, it tore my driver's tire right off. I had no control over the vehicle, but it wasn't me I was worried about. I thought, oh my God, I've killed my boy. I've killed my son. Amen. I didn't take care. I knew I was sleepy when I left. I knew I should have laid down, but I'm tough. I can take it. I can make it home without help. And you know what? I about cost myself my life and my child's life. I'm telling you, God's trying to warn us. I said, God, he's trying to warn us in this house tonight. Tim, I was in a truck. I was holding that steering wheel. I looked up. Windshield was broke. I didn't know how bad I was hurt. I didn't really care. I looked over. I saw my boy. Brother Ronnie, I was in such bad shape as far as just mental. Amen. Just deprived of sleep and hadn't been taking care of myself for those, I mean, not just that week, but other weeks. I went back. I'd die for my boy. You hear me? I die for my wife and my children. But in that moment, I couldn't do anything. I was helpless. I ignored the signs. I ignored the warning. And I was helpless. How many times has a preacher pointed at you and said, you need to pray? How many times has a preacher come to you and said, Mama, Daddy, oh, you better watch out. It ain't just rebellion. It's sin. And if you don't get it under control, amen, if God don't help, you're going to have a daughter or a son that dies lost without God. Amen. Do you hear me tonight? I said the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But it's not all in the world. It's your children and your home. You ignore it. Brother, you're in bad shape. You need help. Why don't you pray? paramedic in the house. Amen. We need help. Oh, God. He's down. Oh, we need somebody. Amen. Could somebody get a hold of God? Could somebody get us help? Amen. It's gone to the point. Hey, I don't know what to do. I said, I don't know what to do. How about you tonight? I'm telling you, God's trying to talk to your heart. God's trying to get a hold to you. Amen. We need God to help us. The rescue line has been put out. God is trying to talk to your heart. You better listen. I said you better listen before it's too late. I don't know what happened. I looked at him. Can you help him, sir? Sir, can you help him? It's hard. Help him, sir. And he looked bad. We warned him. We thought something was wrong. He said it's okay. It can't be serious. Don't worry. It can't be anything bad. He said it's okay. He's just sitting right there. We was in church anyway. We just got through singing. The Holy Ghost just got through moving. Amen. God just got through helping us in the service tonight. There ain't no way anything's wrong with him. I'm not worried. Are you worried? No way. He's going to be all right. He'll pull through. He's one of us. He'll pull through. He always does. He always gets a hold to it in the end. He always prays when it gets down. I'm telling you, there'll come a time when it's too late to pray. There'll come a time when you get to the place that you can't pray.
Oh, God. He looks bad, sir. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Help him. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I tried. I don't know CPR, sir. I'm sorry. I don't know. Amen. Oh, God. Would you help him right now? Amen. This is somebody's son, sir. Don't you know? This is somebody's child. This is my friend. Amen. This is not somebody from down the road. This is Ryan Sellers. We know him. We love him. What are we going to do?
You sure? Is he okay? Please, sir. Please, sir, hurry. Could you hurry, sir? Oh, hurry, sir. Oh, God. Oh, hurry, sir. Please, fast. Oh, sir, hurry. Hurry, sir. Oh, God. Oh, oh. Can't you do something more? He's a good boy at heart. He would never harm anybody. If he knew this would happen, surely he would have took precautions. Surely he would have done something to stop and prevent this. Sir, you don't know how good he is. He helps around the house. He works for a living. He comes to church when he can. Sir, you can't let anything happen to him. We need good boys. He might not be where he needs to be, but at heart, he's a good kid.
Sir. Oh, God. Oh, God. Sir, hurry, please, sir. Hurry, sir. Hurry. Oh, hey, amen. Are you going to take him to the hospital, sir? What are you going to do? But he said, it's all right. Hey, amen. He said, it's okay. Oh, help him. Help him, sir. He just said he didn't need any help. Are you okay, Brother Ryan? Ryan, are you okay? Oh, do you want help? Lord, you ask him, I can help you tonight. Him, I can do something for you. Him, I can help you. Oh, God. I'm telling you, this might be just a little skit we're doing tonight, but somebody in this house needs contact with heaven. Somebody in this house needs God to come down and help their heart before it is, amen, too late, and sin has destroyed their life.
You know him, don't you? Come here. Brother Donnell, how many prayers have you prayed for him? How many times have you went to him? Amen. He's kin to you, ain't he? Amen. You know him good. This can't be happening. Oh, it'll happen somewhere else. But it can't be happening here. I said it can't be happening here.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, what are you going to do, sir? What are you going to do? You go, sir, try to help him, sir. Try to help him. Try to help him. while you can. I said, try to help him while you can. Oh, amen. Folks don't realize. I said, folks don't realize. You might not go out in the physical sense. Oh, but how many times has the devil strapped you down? How many times in your mind has the preacher say pray? Has the preacher begged you to get in the altar? Your mind was outside. Your mind was far away from the house of God.
Aren't you worried? Mama, Daddy, if that scene was portrayed in real life, amen, you would be begging God to help your child. Brother Brian, I pray it never happens. But if that was Nathan on that stretcher, and there had been an accident, it wouldn't be calm. Oh, God. Oh, man. Brother Tim, if that was Joseph, if that was Joseph, oh, God. Amen. Oh, Landon, if that was Daddy, if that was Mama or your brother, you'd be trying to get in touch with God on their behalf. But Mom and Daddy, you said by day after day, as that child walks out of the house, lost and undone with God, and you're gambling. I said you're gambling with their eternal soul. Somebody needs to pray and get a hold of God before it's too late.
What's going on, sir? Sir? Sir, what's going on? Sir? Sir? Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor? Brother Terry, you know about medicine. Brother Kyle, Brother Marvin, get him up here. Brother Terry knows about medicine. Maybe he can help. Maybe you ain't done something he can do. Maybe he knows some kind of treatment. Maybe he knows something that can help this young man. Oh, God.
You got a pulse on him? Any pulse?
This is hard, Doc.
How did he get in this situation? How did he get this far?
He refused help.
He's not breathing. He has no pulse. I'm sorry.
No, Doc. No, Doc, you're wrong. You're wrong.
I'm sorry.
He was at the youth camp. They asked me to preach, Doc. It's my burden. No, Doc.
This young man.
No, Doc. Oh, God. Oh, no, Doc. No.
Oh, God, I'm telling you tonight, amen, death comes in process, and amen, dying comes in process, and dying can be prevented, but death is final. Amen, when you draw your last breath, and you close your eyes, it is over. It is done. There'll never be another chance. There'll never be another altar call. There'll never be another wounded. You will be lost for eternity.